Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
I'll never forget the first real fight that I got in. Do you remember your first real fight? I had been at the park and I was playing with my friend John Kirkendall and Brian Wilson. And I had in some way, and I can't really remember, I'm sure it wasn't my fault, but I had in some way offended both John and Brian, and they decided that they were going to team up on me and get me. So I did what any smart person in that situation would do. I screamed and ran for the house. And man, I booked. I was booking it to the house because I knew if I could get to the house that my big brother was there. And I just knew that at the sight of my bigger brother, both John and Brian would leave me alone. Man, so I get to the house and I'm running and screaming and I'm saying, "Daddy, Daddy," and they're right on my heels and I'm going, "Daddy, Daddy." They stop at the driveway. I run all the way up the driveway, the sidewalk, onto the porch, and I go to open the door. And when I did, my brother pulled the curtain back on the window and he had locked the door. So I grabbed the door, "Hey, let me in." And he says, "No." I said, they're gonna beat me up. He says, "Go face your problem." I said, "I will. You just come out here and face it with me. I'll face it right behind you." He says, "No, go face your problem." I said, "Daddy, please, please, I'm begging you, as your younger brother, we're from the same bloodline. We are family. I mean, blood is thicker than water. I mean, I was pulling everything out. I mean, man, you have a brother is born for the day of adversity. That's what Solomon said. But Danny, please." And he says, "No, you gotta go face your own problems." Man, so after hours of begging for my life, pleading for mercy, negotiating away all of my Christmas presents and everything else, my bike, my basketball, the baseball, it was no advantage. My brother said, "Go and face your own problem." He had locked me out of the house. So I turned around and I took that walk back down the sidewalk and I faced Brian Wilson and John Kirkendall all by myself. And I told him how sorry I was and how it would never happen again and how I was totally in the wrong and we made everything right. Man, I learned a really big valuable lesson that day, and that is my brother is not going to help me if I get into trouble, right? Good news, friend. God has never locked you out of the house. God's never bolted the door on you and said, "Go face your own mess on your own." God's never said, "I'm not coming out there to solve it with you." In fact, that's the entire answer from Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 to the end. And the answer, the illustration being given, the miracle being done for Peter is because Peter has caused his own problem. Peter has created his own mess, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer for all the problems that I cause. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer for all the mess that I get into on my very own. That's what we're seeing in this passage. Look with me. You have a handout in your in the bulletin that you received on your way in, so you can take some notes, so that way you might remember a few things. Look at verse number 24. "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that had received tribute money." Man, so the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious elite of the day, man, they that received the money, this group of people who had turned their hatred to the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, you remember, all the way back from Matthew chapter 12, even Matthew chapter 11, this group of people, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these scribes, man, they were plotting, man, they were scheming, they were devising and conniving ways that they could get rid of Jesus. That's all they wanted to do. They just wanted to get rid of Jesus. He was bad for business. And man, they had one thing, they had one goal in mind. Man, let's get rid of him in any and every way that we can. Man, they tried to discredit him. They tried to spread lies about him. Man, what we know in the end, in Matthew 25, 6, 7, man, what do? They scheme and plot Jesus' murder, and they put him on the cross, and they kill him. Man, they want to get rid of Jesus in every way they can. And now here in this passage, they come to one of Jesus' disciples. Maybe Jesus' most famous disciple, Simon Peter. Man, Simon Peter, James and John, man, these three, they were very close to the Lord Jesus, and they come to Simon Peter and they say unto him, the end of verse 24, doth not your master pay tribute? Man, doesn't your master pay the temple tax? Okay, so they're talking about taxes, and they're saying, doesn't Jesus, doesn't your master, doesn't your rabbi, doesn't your teacher, doesn't he pay the temple tax? What they're not talking about is, they're not talking about the tax due to Rome. They're not talking about a civil tax or a government tax. In fact, Jesus is going to be asked about the tax due to Rome, and he says, man, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Man, pay your taxes. That's what you have to pay your taxes. This is not a civil tax due to Rome or to the government. This is a tax that was set up, started in Exodus, continued in Nehemiah, a temple tax. A temple tax. So, no, letter A, under letter A, number one, letter A. Man, it's a condemning question. What they come to Jesus, or they come to Peter rather, and it seems innocent, it seems non-assuming, it seems like it's just a curious question, but in fact it's not. It's done out of hatred, it's being asked out of maliciousness, not out of innocence. Man, doesn't your master pay tribute tax? Doesn't Jesus pay the tax that the rabbis don't have to pay? But doesn't Jesus pay the tax that the teachers in the temple, that they do not have to pay? I mean, what they're really asking is, they're saying, isn't Jesus not really a rabbi? Man, isn't he not really a teacher? Isn't your master not really a master at all? Isn't he just a carpenter? That's really what they're aiming at. Man, those who did not have to pay the temple tax, man, those were rabbis. Those were teachers. Those were, in fact, like the word being used here, they were, in fact, masters. Man, the answer, or the question rather, to Peter is, the one that you have given your life to, man, isn't your master not really a master? Isn't your teacher not really a teacher? Isn't your rabbi not really a rabbi? Doesn't he have to pay the tax that those who are not rabbis and teachers and masters? Man, can you sense the jealousy? The envy, the maliciousness behind this question, the hatred behind the question. Man, look at verse number 25. And he, that's Simon Peter, and Simon Peter saith, yes. Man, so the question is, does Jesus pay the temple tax? Simon answers the question before he ever asks anyone about it. Simon answers the question before he gets counsel. Simon answers the question before he really even thinks about the question. Man, yes, Jesus pays that tax. Man, the back half of verse 25, and when Jesus was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. He stopped him. He prevented him. He instructed him. He said, let's step outside and talk about this for just a second. And his response to Peter is, what were you thinking? You ever been asked that before? You ever asked yourself that question? What were you thinking? Jesus says, hey, let's before we go in the house with everybody else, let's just step outside. What were you thinking? Well, why would you say yes to that answer And then Jesus asks Peter his own question. Man, the end of verse 25, look at it with me, the end of verse 25. Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of whom do the kings of the earth tax? Their children or strangers? Man, do they tax their children or do they tax their citizens? Man, do they tax their sons and their daughters or do they tax their servants? Peter knows the answer. Man, verse 26, they tax their servants. They tax strangers. They tax citizens. They do not tax their own children. So Jesus then answers, Jesus saith unto him, I'm in the back half of verse 26, then are the children free. Then are the children free. Jesus is saying, man, Peter, I am exempt from this tax. I'm not under this tax. Do you remember how I told unto you that my Father's house shall not be made a house of merchandise? Do you remember how I taught you how to pray? Man, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you remember when I was baptized in Matthew 13 and the voice from heaven opened and the dove descended and the voice said, man, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you remember the early part of Matthew chapter 17? We're all standing on the mountain and Elijah's there and Moses is there and James and John and you and me, we're all there. And man, the voice from heaven booms, this is my son, hear ye him. Do you remember that, Peter? Of whom do the kings of the earth charge tax? Do they tax their own children, their sons, and their daughters? Or do they tax their servants? Do they tax their citizens? Or do they tax their children? The king doesn't tax his kids. And I am the Son of God. Man, John chapter 3, verse number 16. Man, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a condemning question. Let it be, this is a challenged answer. Man, I do not pay tax, Simon. I do not pay tax because I am the only begotten Son of God. Man, I do not pay tax not just because I am a teacher, not just because I am a rabbi, not just because I am a master. I do not pay tax because I am God himself. Man, do you remember Peter's confession just two chapters ago? Man, of whom do men say that I am? Some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Moses. Some people say you are a prophet. Man, everybody has an opinion about Jesus. Right, but Simon, who do you say that I am? Man, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, Simon goes from really good moments to really bad moments really fast. Can anybody relate with Simon Peter? Man, what was I thinking? Man, does your master pay taxes? Yes, 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 we pay taxes. Man, Simon, what were you thinking? I'm the Son of God. Man, we are, look at the end of the verse number 26. We are free. The children are free. So verse 27, notwithstanding, Jesus said to Simon, you made your own mess. Now you go clean it up. Is that what your version says there? If that's what the verse reads, you got the wrong Bible, okay? You got the wrong one. That's not what, man, nevertheless, notwithstanding, verse 27, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea. And cast in a hook, take up a fish, open his mouth, you'll find a piece of money, take that and give unto them for me and for thee. Remember what I told you, Christ is the answer to all the problems that I cause. Man, Christ is the answer to all the messes that I make. Christ is the answer to all the problems that I cause. Simon Peter is the one who obligated them to pay the tax. Simon Peter is the one who answered yes. Simon Peter is the one who shoots off at the mouth. Simon Peter is the one who answers before he thinks. Simon Peter is the one who said the tax is due. And yet Christ is involved in helping solve Simon Peter's problem. Do you see that? Do you see that this morning? Man, would anyone else agree Simon Peter gets himself into a lot of problems? Man, would anyone else agree we get ourselves into a whole lot of problems? Man, would you agree this morning Christ is powerful enough to solve any problem that you have? And Christ is powerful enough to solve any problem that you face. Christ is powerful enough. Christ is loving and involved enough. Christ is engaged enough. Christ is listening enough to solve any problem, even the problems that we ourselves create. Christ has never locked you out of the house. Yeah, but let me in. No, go face your own problems. You started it. Now you go, no, please. I'll give you my bicycle and all my birthday gifts. I'll give you everything. Man, Christ has never locked you out of the house. Man, number one, the moral principle. Number two, the miraculous power. Man, look at the miraculous power. Verse 27, notwithstanding, nevertheless. Man, even though you got yourself into this mess, I'm not just going to leave you there. Lest we, plural tense, lest we. Man, not lest, unless you. Hey, you're the one who said you owed him the tax. You're the one who obligated yourself to pay. You are the one who indebted yourself. You're the one who bought it. You're the one who wanted it. You're the one who said it. Go fix your own problem. No, nevertheless, unless we should offend them. Man, Christ enters into the problem. Man, Christ inserts himself into this situation, but look at his miraculous power. Go to the sea, cast a hook, take up a fish, the first one, and open his mouth, and thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that and give to them for me and for thee. Man, not go down to a certain dock, stand on a certain boat, cast a whole multitude of nets. Man, go down to the sea, just anywhere. No direction. Man, the Sea of Galilee, how many of you know the Sea of Galilee is a really good, really big place, right? Really big sea. Man, just go, not go to a certain place, certain inlet, certain dock. No. Go to the sea. And when you get there, cast in one line, one hook, and you'll catch one fish. And the first one you catch, man, pull it up, and in that fish, it will be a gold coin. Take that coin and pay the taxes with it. One line, one hook, one cast. Do you see the miraculous power there? Do you see the miraculous power there? Man, Simon Peter was a fisherman by trade. Man, there's one story in the Gospels. Simon Peter and the other disciples are out on the boat, and they're fishing all night. Man, not just one fisherman. Man, there's multiple fishermen, multiple boats. They're fishing all night, and they're not throwing one line. They're not casting one hook. The Bible says they're throwing nets, plural tense. They're throwing nets in, and the Bible says they fished all night. Man, they threw nets out into the water, multiple boats, multiple fishermen, multiple nets for many hours, and all night they fished. They caught nothing. The very same sea, they caught nothing. Jesus says, go down to the sea, one line, one hook, one cast, and that fish that you catch, there'll be a gold coin in its mouth. That is what you will use. Man, some people, they call this a minor miracle of Christ. Man, I call this a major miracle for solving a minor problem that Peter himself created. Man, this is not a minor miracle. This is a major miracle solving a minor problem that Peter himself created. He walked into his own mess. He created his own storm. He obligated himself. He indebted himself. He opened his mouth before he should have, and now he's obligated to pay the debt, and yet Christ's miraculous power coming through for Peter. Man, letter A, look at Christ's omniscience.
his omniscience. He knows all. He sees all. He understands all. That's the word omniscience. He knows all. He sees all. Man, he knew right where Simon Peter would go. He knew what line Simon Peter, he knew right where the line would land. Man, he doesn't even tell him to bait the hook. Man, that's great fishing. That's great fishing. I would fish more often if this is the kind of fishing experience I would have. Man, I cast all night long. I try all the baits, all the hooks. I catch nothing, so I gave up. Man, he said, go down, throw one line, one hook. He knew right where to find the gold coin. He knew that the fish would have the exact change that was owed. He knew, he knows. Hear me, believer, he knows. Listen, heavy-hearted Christian, he knows. Listen, worried mom, he knows. I mean, Christ knows. Christ knows all. He sees all. He understands all. He's never been caught by surprise. I mean, do you understand this? God has never gotten up in one morning and gone, ah, what did they do without me? It's never surprised him. You said what? God's never done that. God's never been surprised. God knows. He sees. He hears. Man, Christ's omniscience. Christ knows all. He knows the beginning from the end, the Bible says. Man, he knows the beginning from the end. He is, in fact, the beginning and the end. He is Alpha and Omega. He's letter A. He's letter Z. He's it all. He knows his omniscience. Man, letter B, his omnipotence. His omnipotence, his all power. Man, his not just all knowing, all seeing, all understanding, man, but he's all powerful. Man, knowing where the one fish would be, knowing where the one line would end. Man, not just that, but also controlling the fish that swallowed the one coin in the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. That one fish swallowed that one coin, and there was one bite onto the hook. And one fish, one coin, one hook, one line. How many of you say, man, Christ is powerful this morning? Amen. Man, Christ is the answer for all the problems that I cause. The miraculous power of God is involved every time I've caused any problem. Man, sometimes this is where we get ourselves in trouble, isn't it? Because instead of believing in his power, we rely on our own cleverness. Man, sometimes instead of asking him for wisdom and help, we rely on our own ability to talk our way out of the situation or the problem. Man, here is his omniscience. Here is his omnipotence. Man, number three, his marvelous provision. His marvelous provision. Listen, we see several things about the way the Lord gets us out of trouble. Several things about the way the Lord gets us out of trouble. Letter A, man, God's mercy, hear me, God's mercy is greater than my mouth. God's mercy is greater than my mouth. Anyone besides me, your mouth ever got you in trouble? Am I the only one being honest this morning? Okay, I understand. I'm the only one being honest this morning. I got you. Man, God's mercy is greater than my mouth. Man, aren't you glad that when your mouth gets you into trouble, God's mercy is involved in getting us out? Man, they came to Simon Peter trying to trap him, trying to trick him, trying to trip him up. And by the way, they did. They trapped him. They tricked him. They tripped him up, man. Peter answered before he thought. Man, Peter answered without getting counsel. Peter didn't go, well, hold on, let me go ask Jesus about this question before I just rattle off an answer. Man, they tripped him up. Man, they tripped up Simon Peter. One question, they tripped him up. You contrast that with Christ. Man, some 340 times they come to Christ and they ask Christ a question in the gospel. Some 340 different questions. Most of those questions he never even answered. Some of those questions he indirectly answered. How many of you know only 4 of those questions the Lord Jesus Christ directly answers? Man, why? Because they're trying to trip him up. They're trying to lead him astray. They're trying to trap him. Man, but Simon Peter couldn't help himself. He just had to say something. I just got to say something. I just can't let this keep going on. How many of you are like that? You're like me that way. Man, I got to tell them. If I don't tell them, nobody will tell them. So, you know what? I didn't want to do this, but somebody needs to tell you. Let me take your dirty, rotten bum, you know? Man, God's mercy is greater than my mouth. I'm sure glad God's mercy is involved in getting me out of trouble that my own mouth has got me into. Hey, by the way, go to Proverbs. I want to show you this. Here, this will help you. Go to Proverbs chapter number 10. That's in the Old Testament. You'll see Psalms. That's probably close to the middle. And then the next book over, the book Proverbs. Man, wisdom for life. The book of Proverbs. Wisdom for life. Man, look at chapter 10, verse number 14. Big number 10, little number 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Man, wise men lay up knowledge. Just because they asked it doesn't mean you got an answer. Man, just because they said it doesn't mean you have to walk into it. Just because they're trapping, tricking, tripping doesn't mean you have to answer everyone. How many of you learned you don't have to answer every critic? Man, you don't have to set the record straight. Anytime somebody points something out, a wise man, he lays up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish near destruction. Look at verse number 19. Man, verse number 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, man, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Keep going. Look at verse number chapter 12, two chapters over, verse 13. Chapter 12, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Man, look at verse 14. A man shall be satisfied by the good, or shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Look at verse 13, chapter 13, rather, verse 3. Man, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Man, but he that openeth wide his lips, the same shall have destruction. Man, chapter 18, verse 6. Are you getting the point? Yes or no? Are you getting the point this morning? Yes or no? Man, chapter 18, verse 6. The fool's lips enter into contention. His mouth calleth for strokes. I love that verse. I'm going to bust you in your mouth. No. Man, the words of a man, look at verse 4. The words of a man are as deep waters, the wellspring of wisdom flowing as a brook. Man, anybody understanding the importance of our words this morning? Man, look at chapter 29. Keep going. Chapter 29, verse 20. Chapter 29, verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? It's a question mark. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? Man, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Man, I'm glad when my mouth gets me into trouble, God's mercy is involved in getting us out. Man, Simon Peter kept talking before thinking, kept talking, just throwing out words, just opening his mouth, letting words fly out, never thinking, never asking counsel, never stepping back from the situation. They're trapping, they're tricking, that's true. Man, they're leading him into this, but Simon Peter not refraining his lips, man, he walks right into it, and I'm so glad God doesn't go, "You keep doing this, Simon Peter, I'm not helping you anymore." Man, God's mercy is involved in getting us out of trouble that our own mouth got us in. God's mercy is a lot bigger than my mouth. Man, God's mercy is a lot bigger than your mouth. And God's mercy is a lot bigger than the words that come out of our mouth. Man, his marvelous provision. What's his provision, Pastor? Man, his mercy is greater than our mouth. That's his provision. Man, letter B, his faithfulness is greater than our financial mistakes. His faithfulness is greater than our financial mistakes. Man, in the passage, Peter is impulsive. Anybody ever made an impulsive buy? Okay, so I'm the only one being honest again. Okay, I got it. I see how this rolls. I see how we're doing this right here. Anyone ever made an impulsive? You bought something, and when you got it home, you're like, I don't really know that I needed this or wanted it, but I just bought it, you know? Anybody ever made an impulsive? Man, Simon Peter made an impulsive decision. He makes this impulsive obligation. He impulsively indebts himself. Man, when I have these financial problems, when they're my fault, they're my obligations, they're because of the impulses that I have. Man, I'm glad that God is still there faithfully helping me figure it out. Man, God doesn't push back from the table. He said, no, you're the one that got yourself in this. You figure out a way to pay for it. You're the one that said you were gonna buy. Man, he doesn't do that. Man, God is faithful. God's faithfulness is greater than my financial mistakes. God's faithfulness is greater. Man, maybe it was a purchase that was too big. Maybe it was a toy that was too new. Maybe it was an impulse that was just too strong. You thought you had to have it, Man, maybe you made a bad financial decision, but hear me, God's faithfulness is greater than our financial mistakes. God's faithfulness is greater than our financial mistakes. Man, how is God providing for them? How is God helping them? Man, his mercy is greater than their mouth. His faithfulness is greater than his financial mistake. Letter C, his grace is greater than my guilt. Man, was Simon Peter guilty, yes or no? Man, was Simon Peter guilty, yes or no? Yes. Man, Simon Peter, he's guilty of allowing these guys to bait him, allowing these guys to trap him, allowing these guys to trip him up. Man, they wanted him to fall. They wanted him to mess up. That was the whole reason. Man, from chapter 10 on, they've been looking for a way to trip him up. Man, 340 questions, 340 engagements. They couldn't get Christ to trip up. Man, so they go after Simon Peter. Simon Peter's guilty of falling into this. And yet, even though Simon Peter had allowed himself to get caught, even though Simon Peter was guilty of falling into their trap, God does not push back from the table. God does not distance himself. God does not lock the door and say, go fight your own problems. Man, God's marvelous provision. Man, go forward. You're in Matthew. Go forward. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Are you with me this morning? Man, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 13. You're awfully quiet. You're awfully quiet, but I hope it's because you're deep in thought, not deep in sleep, okay? So chapter 2, verse 13. Man, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Do you see this verse? If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Man, even when we mess up, even when we speak when we should have been silent, even when we respond impulsively, even when we let somebody bother us and we should have known better, we should have known they were headhunting, we should have known it was trap, we should have known it was them luring us in, pulling us in, we should have taken the higher road, but man, it was a moment of weakness, it was a failure, it was a mistake, it was a bad move on our part, yet he is faithful, he cannot deny himself. Man, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Man, he abides faithful, he abides faithful regardless of our stammering, regardless of our stumbling, regardless of our mistakes, he abideth faithful. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I did though. Mine's a really bad mistake. Yet he abideth faithful. Yeah, but I really messed it up this time. Yet he abideth faithful. He's never locked you out of the house. He's never bolted the door and said, go deal with it yourself. He cannot deny himself. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Man, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And let me show you the greatest way that God is faithful, the greatest way God is involved, the greatest way that God has stepped in. Man, God is faithful in that He has provided a way of escape for us. Man, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And yet the Lord has laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Man, Christ went to the cross because of our mistakes. Man, Christ went to the cross because of our sin. Man, Christ went to the cross and died because of our guilt. And he is faithful that he will not deny himself. Now, sometimes we forget that. Man, sometimes as believers, man, sometimes we forget what God has done in providing Christ for us. And we fall into this trap of thinking that our relationship with God is somehow predicated, is somehow based, is somehow rooted or founded on our own good works or our own doing. Man, any relationship with God at all is not on your own morality. It's not on your own civility. It's not on your own perfectionism. Any relationship with God is only based on the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Man, no man comes to the Father but by me. That's what he says. There's no way to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Man, he was faithful that he, being in the form of God, Christ being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Man, the greatest way God was faithful to you, the greatest way God was faithful to me, was that he died on the cross for our sin. But that he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave 3 days later. And how many of you know if Christ can beat death, hell, and the grave, he can solve the trouble that my mouth gets me into? Man, if Christ beats death, hell, and the grave, he can help me manage the financial crisis that I'm in. If Christ beats death, hell, and the grave, man, then there's enough mercy and there's enough faithfulness and there's enough grace to reign and rule and pour over any other decision or mistake I make in my life. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that. Man, Simon Peter started it, but the Lord Jesus Christ solved it. I love that. And Simon Peter started it. The Lord Jesus Christ solved it. And sometimes when we trip up, I think we trip up here because I think we think we're clever enough to solve it ourselves. We think we're smart enough to solve it ourselves. We think we're skilled enough. We have enough knowledge. We think we can solve it ourselves. Man, if Simon Peter tried to solve the problem himself, man, he would have been in some hot water. But Christ does not lock the door. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful. Can I give you number four? Last one. Even if you said no, I would still give it to you. So it doesn't matter. A maturing position. Hey, listen, God didn't create us just to solve problems for us. God did not create us simply so that he would have somebody that he could bail out whenever they got themselves in trouble. Man, more than that, he wants us to have a closer relationship with him. So three things.
Notice the instruction that he extended. Simon Peter, you created your own mess. You created your own problem. You were impulsive when you should have been patient. You let them trip you up when you knew that they were trying to trap you. You didn't think before you speak. But Simon, let me encourage you. Let me strengthen you with my word. Nevertheless, lest we should offend them, go to the sea. The instruction. Listen, he talks to Simon. He doesn't ignore him. He doesn't pretend like he doesn't exist. Man, Simon Peter created his own problem. Christ is involved in solving the problem. How does he solve the problem? He gives Simon Peter instruction. More than God wants to just solve your problems, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to build you, grow you, teach you. He wants you to mature. It's the word of his grace, Paul says, that is able to build us up. It's the word of his grace that strengthens us and forms us. Man, he delivers his message to us. Listen, church, this is important. This is why we need to be together and study God's word. This is why you and I need to be faithful to the preaching times at church. This is why we need connection groups. This is why you ought to come on Tuesday and listen to the word of God in a Thanksgiving challenge for us. Why? Because we need to hear the word of God. God's not interested in just being a genie or your bailout plan. Man, God is interested in forming you and making you and fashioning you and in growing you and causing you to be more like him. More than just solve your problem, man, we need to interface with the Word of God. Man, the instruction that he extended, let it be the integrity he exemplified. Listen to Christ's tone. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Now, how many of you read that and you go, but they are offensive people. They are the ones who are trapping. They are the ones who are tricking. They are the ones who are tripping. They are the ones who are out to get you. They're the malicious ones. Nevertheless, lest we should offend them. Man, a whole lot of people were offended in Christ. Man, but Christ doesn't want to be offensive to anyone. Hear me on this point. The balance on this point is very important. Because you're here and you go, well, Pastor, I believe. I just call it like it is. I'm one of those people. I just call it like I see it. You ever talk to somebody like that? I don't know why like this old like granny voice came out right there. I don't know why, but that's just kind of what was in my, I just call it like I see it, you know? Man, the balance is important. Jesus doesn't go, let's just call it like we see it. Jesus doesn't do that. Man, Jesus says, unless we should offend them. Who are you talking about? You're talking about people who want to kill you? Man, unless we should offend them. Who are you talking about? People who are headhunting for you? People who just a few chapters from now will sell you for 30 pieces. Unless we should offend them. Listen, it's truth in love. It's truth in love. Man, it said about the Lord Jesus that wherever he went, he ministered truth and healing and help, but he did so with grace. With grace. Man, I hope you don't miss that point. Man, we're to be people who speak the truth, but we do so in love, in kindness, in the way that we would want someone to tell it to us. Man, can from the same fountain there be good water and bad water? Can from the same spring there be blessing and cursing? And yet, from our mouth, man, we can say one thing one way, we can say another thing another way, and we can issue either blessing or cursing, life or death, by the way we say what we say. We should guard the way we say what we say. Paul says it like this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, which is good, which is good to the use. Let
your words be good words that are used to edify. That word edify means build up. Let your words, before you open and say something, you better make sure your words are good words that are going to be used to build someone up, not just tear them down. Well, you always, and you never, and don't you ever think, and it just needed to be said. No, no, no. Let your words be good, and let them be building, and let them be helpful. Let your words be good words, use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Grace to the hearer. Man, in telling you this, I want to minister grace in your life. Was that your approach? When you had that conversation that you really didn't want to have, but I mean, somebody has to say it, so I'll be the one to say it. Was the tone of Christ? Man, lest we should offend them. Man, the integrity that he exemplified. Last one, the involvement he expected. The involvement he expected. Man, now that my word has built you up, now that my word has calmed you down, and unless we should offend them, let's minister grace to them. Unless we should offend them, and let's show love, let's show grace. Man, Simon Peter, you go to the sea. Man, we're the ones involved. We're the ones partnering. We're the ones involved. Man, we got ourselves into the problem. He hasn't locked the door and left us out. Man, he's using his word to build us up. He's showing mercy, grace, favor, faithfulness, mercy in our lives. But you go to the sea. You throw the line into the water. You catch the fish. You pull it up and you get the money out of the fish's mouth and you take and you give. Man, how many of you know if the Lord wanted to, he could have had that fish fly out of the sea, land on the ground, and start spitting out cash like an ATM machine? That would have been pretty cool. I mean, he could have just landed there and just started spitting out $100 bills. Man, but that's not what he did. Why? Man, because he's more interested in maturing Simon Peter than he is in just solving Simon Peter's problem. Oh no, he's gonna solve the problem. Man, his miraculous power, man, his all-knowing, man, he knows right where to throw the line. He knows right where the fish is gonna be. He even knows what fish is going to be. Man, but he's not just interested in solving the problem. He's interested in strengthening Peter. He's not just interested in solving your problem. He's interested in maturing you, molding you, making me, strengthening me, growing me into who he wants us to be. Man, you remember the old song you used to sing when we were little kids? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. But he's still working on me. And I'm thankful that even though I am not faithful, he is. And I'm thankful that even though my mouth gets me into trouble, my mouth isn't bigger than his mercy. Man, and I'm thankful that even though there are times when I am impulsive and there are times when I am guilty, man, God's grace is greater than my guilt. That's how good and great our God is this morning. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you.